are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to the King's Men. Here we are today, Friday, July 27th. Pray you're doing well. It is a beautiful day and no rain, so that's great. That's great. I pray for all you dear listeners and all your needs and all your special intentions. Today I have a guest, Steve Pokorny from San Antonio, Texas, will be on my program. He's been on before. He's written a new book on the issue of pornography, and I'd like to bring that up today again. And as you know, some of you, if you're listening and have been listening, that the King's Men is a layman's apostolate that started in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia back in 2004. And we've taken a stance against the issue of pornography, and we've been a part of the closing of nearly 20 sexually-oriented businesses. I think it's 19, the number now, all across the country. And that's simply by saying, no, not on my watch. I will stand in the gap, and I will reach out to men who are struggling and women who are being victimized and objectified. And certainly there are women who are struggling as well with this multi-billion dollar pornography industry. And we've written on it, we've blogged about it, we've talked about it, and we've fought it. And through God's grace, we've been a part of major healings in men's lives. Freedom, one of the things that Steve, my guest, is very good at is helping men be set free from pornography. He's got a great ministry called Freedom Coaching. We could talk a little bit about that today, but we're going to mostly talk about his book, and perhaps it's something you might want to purchase for a loved one. Nonetheless, we're going to start and coat this prayer. Excuse me. We're going to start and coat this program with prayer. So we're going to do it with our patron, St. Augustine, who has written numerous books and publications and homilies. But one of the prayers that he prayed, which is something we used to pray a lot on this program. We got away from it for a little while, but it's such a powerful prayer to the Holy Spirit. And this is Augustine's way of praying to the Holy Spirit. So I invite you to join me in this beautiful prayer of Augustine to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. And certainly we ask St. Augustine to pray for us, all your patron saints and guardian angels to intercede for us as we begin this time together. Again, my guest will be Steve Pokorny calling in from San Antonio, Texas, the great Lone Star State. Before we dive into that part of the program, I want to update you on the King's Men and our upcoming programs and things we'll be doing. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our apostolate, you can go to thekingsmen.org and learn more. We've been, as I said, at this work for about 15 years, and we have seen tremendous transformation. I want to share with you something that happened back in June. I don't know if I've been on the program since to declare this over the airwaves. Maybe I have, maybe I haven't. I don't remember exactly. We had a miracle confirmed at our Into the Wild retreat in Sholo, Arizona, back in June, first week in June. Our chef on the weekend, his name's Paul, had stage 4 cancer. And he came to the weekend with a very poor prognosis after about 5 years of battling the cancer, lung cancer. His doctor says that told him on May 1st that the cancer had spread and it was, quote, rampaging, end quote, through his body. So nonetheless, I didn't know much about this in Paul's life. He kind of kept it quiet, and he seemed in decent health, I guess, when I saw him. and met him. He did have medication, and he was taking pretty significant amount, and I guess I could have put some things together, but I didn't. Nonetheless, after the retreat, he told me that he felt that he reclaimed his life. He was there with his son, and they worked and gave us amazing food in the kitchen for 50, 60 men, and we were blessed to have him. Well, he emails me on that Wednesday, everything I just shared with you about his cancer. In fact, in 2012, the oncologist doctor told him that he'd never hear the words cancer-free or remission. Well, his doctor met, saw Paul after the retreat on the Wednesday and told him he was cancer-free. Now, Paul was prayed over by all the men at the and prayed for by all the men at the End of the Wild retreat. And the chaplains there, the Franciscan Friars of the Holy Spirit, who have a special charism for healing and deliverance, brought the relic of Saint Charbel with them. And that was just celebrated this past Tuesday here in our church. But anyhow, the relic of Saint Charbel was used and to be as a part of the praying over of every man at the retreat on Saturday night. And Paul was prayed over. So I wanted to share that wonderful news of healing and miracle, that God is alive today in our church, and he is doing the same things that he did 2,000 years ago when he walked on this earth. The miracles are still happening, brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm so happy to declare and proclaim that over the airwaves today. We also had another man who, on that retreat, a second miracle, asked for deliverance from the issues of gluten that he was having, sensitivities, almost borderline celiac autoimmune disorder. And he was delivered from that in his life. He can receive the Eucharist now. He could not take the Eucharist without getting extremely sick. He can eat bread. He's had a beer. He's had donuts, croissants, he's told me. And he was set free from that. Praise God. So two confirmed miracles coming through this retreat experience that the Kingsmen were instrumental in putting on out in Arizona. We have another retreat. I can't forecast or prophesy that these miracles are going to happen at the next one. But the next Into the Wild is in the Black Hills of South Dakota, not far from Mount Rushmore. So if you're in our listening audience today here in the Philadelphia area and you want to experience Into the Wild, 4,000 men have come to this retreat in the last, well, since 2009. So how many years is that? That's 9 years, right? So in 9 years, over 4,000 men have come to this retreat and experienced the love of God in God's wilderness, in his wilderness, and what it means to be a leader, protector, and provider. This is the mission of the apostolate, and this is what we do on the End of the Wild weekends. It's an outdoor experiential retreat for men, fathers and sons, age 11 and up will accept, and it's a chance for men to experience their faith in a masculine modality, some for the first time experiencing it that way. Manly priests, authentic brotherhood, renewals in marriages and in relationships have all happened, and transformations, and some guys have even said, quote, it's life-changing, end quote. Their words, not mine. You can check it out at intothewildweekend.com if you'd like to register for the next retreat. It's September 13th through the 16th in Custer State Park in the Black Hills of South Dakota, the Diocese of Rapid City. Archbishop Shep Hughes' former diocese, his first bishopric was in the Diocese of Rapid City. I've been to this place. It's beautiful. I've been to Mount Rushmore as a result of going out there to give a talk to men last year. And it's a great place to be, especially in September. So I highly encourage you to share the good news of the King's Men, but at that End of the Wild program, which has helped a lot of men. Now, Steve Bocorni, my guest, who is has been a friend of mine since 2004. I've known him since then. We went to the First Theology of the Body Institute. Steve's been to End of the Wild. Also, I want to share with you that the healing that comes from these retreats is incredible. However, it's not designed for healing, although what a wonderful fruit of these retreats. The Kingsmen actually designed a healing retreat called Samson in 2012. Now, over 200 men have come to this retreat. It's much smaller in scope, but it's It's got some outdoor experiential elements to it, but it happens in New Jersey, in the pine lands of New Jersey. And this retreat is designed for healing. If you're looking for healing from addiction, if you're looking for healing from past hurts, pains, struggles, you know, current trials in your life, the Samson retreat is really for you. And this is for men age 18 and up. And the next one is going to be November 8th through the 11th, again, in Hammonton, New Jersey. If you look at your blueberries that you're purchasing at the food store these days, they're mostly coming from Hammonton at this time. So, you know, peak times like June, peak time for them. And we got them all in our groceries here in Pennsylvania. So that's exactly where we go. Our retreat is nestled in the pine lands and right in the grape fields. Or, excuse me, not the grape fields, the blueberry fields. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. And we will be there again November 8th through the 11th. And you can learn more at SamsonRetreat.com. And that is a healing retreat. Again, it's designed to help men go deeper, as we often say at the retreat. The place of the wound is the place of the healing. Well, it's not always easy for men to go to those places. And I would say the majority of the men that come to the Samson Retreat are men that have come to Into the Wild. By about 80% of those guys that have come to Samson have been a prior attendee at Into the Wild. Nonetheless, it's open to all men, and invite you to consider coming. We have a man coming in from California for this retreat this November, one coming up from Oklahoma. We always get a smattering of men from the East Coast, but it's open to all men. Again, SamsonRetreat.com. Those are the two upcoming programs for the Kingsmen. We also have the Masculine Genius Institute. Now, Steve, my guest, who's going to be on here in a minute with us, he attended the inaugural Masculine Genius Institute in Mundelein. I invited Steve to come because he does men's work, and I thought it would be good for him. We did the second Masculine Genius Institute last year in Villanova. And the whole purpose of the Masculine Genius Institute is to really develop content for the church when it comes to men's ministry and outreach. And the first particular institute we discussed, the forging a vision of manliness throughout the history of the church, even before the church, when you look at the formal establishment of the church, you know, ancient Hebraic thought all the way up to contemporary wisdom of the church today. But, you know, you have your Greek thought in between, your medieval thought, early church fathers. What did they say on manliness? Last year at Villanova, we did Boys to Men. How do you train up a boy to become a man? And we had great speakers and great content that we delivered that we produced for the church. And this year, we're doing the finished man. So we're kind of finishing up the teenage years, the adolescent years, and basically bringing that young person to 18 and completing everything he needs to become a man. Well, in other words, when a boy turns 18, he really needs to be ratified and confirmed by other men, hopefully a father, that says, you are a man now. Now, you have all the tools that you need to become a man. He has to obviously grow and mature in those use of those tools and all those things. But on a physical level, he still is going to grow. He's going to become much more manly in his physical prowess and stature. But he should have all the tools he needs to navigate through his adult life as a man. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to be talking about, you know, the dating element of dating and what that does to the finished man. And of course, leadership, protectorship, providership. We're going to talk about those things. We'll talk about technology and how that influences the finished man today, and how it hinders the finished man today. But nonetheless, that's Masculine Genius Institute happening in Covina, California, September 28th to 29th. Check it out, MasculineGeniusInstitute.com. You can learn more. So I believe Steve is on the phone. Great. So we have Steve Picorni calling in from San Antonio today. We're going to be talking with him about his new book. So I'd like to welcome Steve to the program now. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks so much. It's an honor to be here with you, brother.
It's great to have you back again. We've had you on the air before, and certainly you and I have told the audience before you got on the airways with us that we've known each other since the Theology of the Body Institute back in 2004. You remember that day?
Amazing. We were the first class to kick that off.
How about it? How many men and women that were there? I think it was about like 80 or so, if memory serves me correctly, from all over the world, have gone on to do amazing things. Like, we were all kind of like cutting our teeth and trying out, you know, we were being mentored and stuff, yourself, myself. How many people, I can think of at least a dozen right now, that have gone on to do almost just some miraculous things with these apostolates that they've developed, yourself being one of them. Do you remember that?
I do. And I mean, we can just say this gift of St. John Paul the Great with the theology of the body, what he's done, I mean, personally and also for the church, those are the stories that we're going to share in heaven that are going to be just remarkable.
How about it? Yeah, if we knew all the fruit of that, man, we probably would we'd just rest on our laurels, you know. Oh, look at all the great things I've done. Well, let's talk about you, Steve, a little bit. Tell us a little background about you for our audience, you know, your family life, your wife, your kids, and what you're doing now in the church, and then we'll bridge into this wonderful new book that you've written. So let's just give us a little background, a little curriculum vitae, if you don't mind.
Yeah, no problem. I've been married 9 years this past June. And my wife and I, we have two beautiful daughters here on earth, one in heaven. And professionally, I'm a graduate of Franciscan University and also the John Paul II Institute for the D.C. session for marriage and family studies. And I have a ministry that's been blessed and given to me. It's called Freedom Coaching, where after I was set free from over 12 years of compulsion to pornography, I helped to break this in both men and women, Catholics and non-Catholics, but through a very Catholic lens and ethos. Along with that is a speaking ministry. I go around speaking in a wide variety of places to a variety of audiences, from youth to adult to in between. And then also a project that we were working on for over 14 years, and then it continues to expand, is a book that was released called Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture. And if it wasn't for my wife, who was the midwife for this book, it would never have gotten to the form it is now. So I'm indebted to her for being the final editor on this project.
I love how you say midwife for the... It is a birthing process. I'll tell you, writing is a birthing process, and certainly publishing and editing and all that stuff is kind of painful. I wouldn't say, boy, our poor sisters in Christ, our wives, we can't even compare in our pain in life compared to labor, right? But nonetheless, we used the analogy, so I like how you used it. And awesome to hear about the two girls, the saint in heaven. And so thanks be to God. We've talked about Freedom Coaching on this program before. Let's dive a little deeper into that for just a second. You got a website, I'm sure. If people can't stay with us, let's put that out right away so people know where to find you.
Absolutely. So it's freedom-coaching.net. The book is featured there, and that book, Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture, is available through Amazon.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to go to our first break in about 2 minutes, but tell us a little bit more about Freedom Coach, and then when we come back, we'll take a deep dive into the book a little bit. And but tell us a little more about Freedom Coaching. So obviously, you know, you had a personal story and journey that to set your heart on, and then you said, I have this desire to help others kind of learn from you, from what you did. And so give us maybe a testimonial, give us a success story, or tell us, how successful you've been with helping men be set free, if you can quantify it.
Yeah. It's been a great from this. I mean, we set up basically three rules in Freedom Coaching. A, acknowledging this is a grace, a work of the Holy Spirit, and opening ourselves up to that. B, being honest and transparent. And C, doing the work that's available here. And in happening here, unlike a lot of other programs, and I want to put a dig on anyone, but a lot of things that are proposed out there are coping mechanisms.
Right.
And coping mechanisms don't bring genuine internal freedom. I know all about coping mechanisms. the goal here is about inoculation, so that because the pornified images are so powerful because of the brain chemistry here, it becomes impossible on mere willpower. And what we're really looking for in these images, we're looking for love, we're looking for intimacy, we're looking for beauty. So there's a rediscovery here of what intimacy is, especially through traversing a bit through St. John Paul the Great's theology of the body. And then most importantly is teaching people how to see the body correctly, because most of us have our first experience of the body is through the pornified lens of seeing the body as an object to be used instead of as a person to encounter the glory of who they are and the glory of God. And so basically walking through this process, many, many people have found freedom internally to basically live the
Steve,
life.
Steve, let me cut you off. We're going to a hard break. We'll be right back. Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Holly Hill Health Foods invites everyone to our annual Christmas in July event. Experience holiday cheer with demonstrations by Prime Vitamin and healthcare companies, sampling of products, and promotions. We want to celebrate the gift of good health during our Christmas in July event, now through July 31st. Our store is located at the Montgomery Commons Shopping Center on Route 63 in North Wales. Call us at 215-361-7770 or visit hollyhillvitamins.com.
A prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, O Spirit of God, and make within us your dwelling place and home. May our darkness be dispelled by your light, and our troubles calmed by your peace. May all evils be redeemed by your love, all pain transformed through the suffering of Christ, and all dying glorified by his risen life. Amen.
Welcome back to the Kingsmen. My guest today, Steve Pokorny, calling in from San Antonio. He's got a great ministry called Freedom Coaching, freedom-coaching.net, if I'm saying that right, Steve. Sorry to cut you off there.
You got it.
We were up against a hard break, and so you were in the middle of like a treatise there. I had to just inject myself. So you were saying you, and I'm going to comment on this in a second, but you were saying you're kind of retraining the brain to think of imagery and images of women in particular in the way God intended, if I'm summarizing a little bit of what you were saying there. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I can take a line from one of my favorite movies, The Matrix. And if you remember the first movie, the other two are garbage. But the first one has some really good things in there. For those who have never seen the movie, right, Morpheus and Neo there, and has pulled Neo into the real world, and Neo is just waking up and asks Morpheus, why do my eyes hurt? And Morpheus responds, you've never used them before. The sad reality is many of us have never used our eyes as we are designed to be. When we get in the presence of pornified images or even of people who we may have an attraction to, the typical advice is given, just look away.
Right.
There is something, and I want to be very clear here, right? If all we feel in our own power is that if we look at this image or look at this person and we're going to lust, then by God, look away. But we can't say that's the fullness of freedom.
No.
We are called to see with love. And so within this whole process, in learning how to actually see the body appropriately so, the pornography loses its power. And from this, there's genuine freedom that comes from here. And I'll share one story that was in, that I share in the book. A friend of mine, he's interviewing a lot of people about pornography. Same story, they got hooked or got exposed between the ages of about 6 to 9 or 8 to 11, somewhere in there. And it was only one story that was very different. It was a 9-year-old boy who was at a park with his family, and he kind of came across a quote-unquote gentleman's club ad, and anything but gentleman club, but you get the point.
Yes.
It was two naked women that were featured on that. He immediately goes to his older sister, says, I found a yucky picture. The older sister says, it goes to his, says, go show your older brother. Older brother says, all right, show me it. So he does, the younger brother does. The older brother immediately rips this up and throws it away. Two questions are from this that ask the question. A, how is the younger brother able to do this immediately? And B, how is the older brother able to go and rip that up and throw it away? Because any of us who have had any exposure to pornography, we find that first, you know, a lot of us, older generation, finding a first pornography magazine, or we find an image maybe online, our tendency here is to hide it. Like, this is buried treasure. Oh my gosh, I've won the lottery. And the reason is, we've never had anything to compare that image with. And there is something beautiful in there, right? There's something beautiful in people. There's some desire for connection there, okay? But the way in which it's being presented is the problem. So if the answer to this story here is this young boy had grown up with lived experiences of being seeing the body appropriately unveiled.
Right.
It was a lived experience of seeing the body not as something shameful, as so many of us, especially in many Catholic circles, there's a huge amount of body shame where we're ashamed of ourselves, of different parts of our body. Some of the comments, especially, you know, my wife talks about some mom circles. They say, oh, my gosh, can you believe she's wearing that? Or, you know, I don't like this body part of me or this shape of me. Instead of seeing the goodness and gloriousness of our body, regardless of how a person is dressed, regardless if, you know, they're in great shape or maybe they're overweight, seeing the person precisely as a person.
Amen. All right, so there's a lot there. That's a whole book we just said in 2 minutes.
that's awesome.
No, that's awesome. So one of the things I want to share, and I think it's a bridge into your book, and I've listened to you, you know, minister to men, because we've been on Into the Wilds together, and, you know, I might be in the same room as you, or, you know, we've talked, and we've been in the company of each other's wives, and we've shared fellowship together. And so one of the things that's always struck me about your approach, and I have, you know, certainly the ways that I've been set free and have embraced the life of chastity, and everyone's journey is a little different, of course, and what their story is, but there's a common theme there, and there is this retraining of the brain. I really love it. You focused, and you kind of opened my mind to it, and then my marriage really explained it, and I'm going to just kind of present it real simply, and then I'm going to let you really, you know, kind of break it out for us as you can do best. So anyhow, you mentioned something about sacred art, and sacred art is something that's in the theology of the body, and John Paul II, as we've learned, you know, when we studied it, that, you know, there's a difference between sacred art. You know, it's sacred art when it doesn't offend chastity, is specifically kind of paraphrasing what he says. It's sacred if it doesn't offend chastity. So nonetheless, we have sacred art, and we see sacred art in, you know, frescoes and all over the world and in Rome and in the Vatican, and it's a beautiful thing. Nonetheless, you were commenting on sacred art, and especially, I guess, rather, you know, when Mary used to be exposed in Our Lady of La Leche, right? She would be exposed nursing the child Jesus, right? And that was very common, that there would be a breast exposed or her whole breast, I don't know, imagery of Our Lady nursing, and it was sacred, and it was holy, and it was pure. And so I'll simply say this, is that I have seen the redemption of my eyes through the lens of my wife nursing her children. Take it from there, Steve. Tell me,
beautiful.
explain all that to me.
Okay, a lot to unpack here, so I'll do it very briefly. So within this, we have the, in the world we live in, the pornified culture we live in, when people think of a woman's breast, they think of it first and foremost, and perhaps only as ornamental. As something fun, and that a woman's breasts are created only for a man's enjoyment. Okay? Instead of what should we say? That it's not just a woman's breasts, A, are beautiful, and if we don't think women's breasts are beautiful, then there's something wrong there.
Right.
But secondary and immediately, it should be a call that they're also functional. It's a call to motherhood. That every woman, no matter her state of life, is called to be physical and or spiritual mother. And especially because we've divorced here, we do not know what the sexual act is for in our culture. We view abortion as a right here, right? We have this whole notion that women are mere objects. And some women have fallen into this, right? And so when we, especially as men, we grow up in this pornified culture thinking that a woman's breast is our plaything, or we think that a woman's body is meant for our use, then we normalize this view, and then we bring this out into the way we look at women in the real world. And then women, right, who are aching to be seen as persons, they may begin to buy the lie, well, if that's going to get me the attraction and love that I desire, then maybe I should act and behave and dress that way. And so the problem comes in not first and foremost that it's a woman's problem, but it's a man's problem.
Mm.
We have the duty and responsibility to see her first and foremost as a person. And this is exactly where sacred art can come in. This is where those images of Maria Lactans can come in, where Mary is exposed. And in some of these images, Mary is not this flat-chested, like, statue in some of these, like, bad religious pawn shops or gift shops. I don't know if there's a religious pawn shop. Or religious,
They're in pawn shops, though, unfortunately. Go ahead.
All right. So within this here is Mary here is this full-breasted woman, right? If you were going to create your own mother, how would you make her? Beautiful. Jesus did that. And breasts were never, from the divine eye, seen as a plaything. It was an expression of who woman is, that she is to receive love into her, to conceive life, and to bear that life to the world and to nurture that life interiorly and exteriorly. And so using these images here, because we as Catholics, we should be having a genuine, real relationship with Jesus Christ and his mother Mary, right? And entering into this here is very beautiful. I come from the Eastern persuasion of the Byzantine persuasion, Byzantine rite, where we use icons all the time. So using visual written words of God, because that's what icons are. They're not drawn, they're written. And here we're able to enter into the mystery. And so what we want to say, and a practical solution to, you know, some of our listeners on the call today, go to adoration. Bring these images with you.
Yes.
And while looking at the, shall we say it, the naked Christ, Christ is exposed to us in the Eucharist, use these images where Jesus is being fed by the breast with Mary, and there can be healing and wholeness in communion. Again, it's not the end-all, be-all, but when we have these images, and then we're being programmed by these images, which are healthy and natural and holistic, when pornography images are presented to us, guess what happens? Pornography loses its power.
Mm.
We begin to become inoculated here, and there's genuine freedom here, so that when we're in the presence of any person, there's this like freak-out moment, and said, I can now see this person as a person, regardless of how they're dressed.
Because you know the truth, because you understand the divine mind and what was in it through Mary, right? I mean, obviously we can't fully grasp the divine mind, but we see in Mary, the Blessed Mother, something that the Lord wants us to know about the human body and women and motherhood and everything. We get a glimpse and we see it and its fullness, and we can say, okay, I accept that. That's truth. Now, I know I just totally extrapolated something from your book, but let's back up for a second, because you wrote a new book, you spent a long time on it, you gave birth to it, your wife midwifed it. So give us the name of it again, because it's long, and I didn't capture it in its fullness, and I want our audience to know it, and again, it's available to Amazon, but go ahead.
Sure. Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture, and this is definitely worth your time and investment.
Okay, Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free, and say again?
From the Pornified Culture.
Okay, now, that's a beautiful title. Obviously, there's a lot of meaning in it. Do me a favor, Setting the Blind Free. Okay, we know this is in Scripture. Why did you choose to say that?
Sure. First and foremost, pornography is blinding us.
Right.
It's blinding us from the ability to see others. And the Scripture passage that I kicked the book off with is when Jesus encounters the blind man, Bartimaeus.
Right.
And here, in the midst of all the noise of the world, he sees something real. He knows that something, or shall we say, he has an interior sight, right, even though he's physically blind. And he knows there's something real here. So he cries out with all of his might, Lord Jesus, I want to see. And everybody's telling him, just shut up, be quiet, even those who are thinking closest to him, right?
Right.
And he knows what he wants. And he cries out, Lord Jesus, I want to see. And Jesus approaches him and comes up and asks him a very crucial question. What do you want? And he says, Lord, Master, I want to see. And so are we clear on what we really want? Because this is the issue, is because in our pornified culture, we're being told that anything can satisfy us. But in truth, it's only genuine love, beauty, and intimacy that will do that. So if we become laser-focused on what will actually satisfy us and not settle for any of the counterfeits, Jesus will give us vision. He will help us to see appropriately that even though we may have been, I like to call it, drinking from the septic tank of our culture for a long time, Christ has the ability to redeem our vision. And it's something that is way more satisfying than anything the pornified culture can provide for us.
Great. The book is Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture. It's available at Amazon, and my guest today is its author, Steve Pokorny, calling in from San Antonio, Texas. So blessed to hear about this, and so you spoke it into the wild last year, or 2 years ago, in Austin, Texas, Diocese of Austin, Mejia. And you broke out a lot of great content. In fact, I had to cut you off just like I did at the first break here because it was so rich and we were running out of time. Your book is pretty in-depth. You and I checked in, it was pretty long. Was it a 250-page read, 300-page read or something?
460-page read.
Oh, my goodness. No wonder you gave birth to it
well
in 10
it.
Years. Okay. well worth it. No doubt. No, and don't be afraid or intimidated. Gosh, I imagine, you know, it's not something you try to read over a weekend, right? This is a journey, right? So your book's a journey. So tell us, not the chapters and out, you know, give us the basic framework. You obviously,
sure.
you're taking people who... I imagine your target audience for this book is certainly maybe therapists could read it. I think that would be a great audience to help their clients. But also someone who's just probably saying, hey, I need help. Maybe he does a Google search and this book pops up. And so I'm like an addict or maybe a guy with major porn problems. And I find this book and it's like, oh, my gosh, maybe this could help me. Right. Is that the target audience, that guy or girl?
I would say that and more. So
okay.
Clearly we
Sorry.
Want to help those with a compulsion to pornography to help break them of that. But the bigger underlying project, Mark, is to create a culture of beauty. We as Catholics have pretty much in many cases let go of being the patron of the arts. And thus, like nature abhors a vacuum. Here, the pornography culture has come back in here. So I believe one of the goals of my ministry and perhaps of my life is to help to unleash beauty to the world, starting with my family, but professionally with this, to help people to see, but then on a wider scale, because if we use Matthew Kelly's number of 8% of Catholics, if you get 8% of Catholics actually living the faith, we take over the world. That's one of the things here. And if we can't see, there's no and really articulate what real beauty is, we're not going to be able to answer the pornified culture that is looking for real love. So within this here, a clarion call, a challenge. If there's a donor listening to this, I want to get this into the hands of every single priest, starting in the States and then beyond here.
Praise
because
God.
if you get priests on board, again, under good authority here, there's a lot of priests who struggle with pornography themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So to help set them free,
sure.
so that they can go preach like a house on fire. Oh my gosh! And when the parishioners hear this. That we're called to genuine beauty and how we live this out, we start to see radical transformation for a whole host of things. Because, Mark, I know deep in your heart and my heart is to see an end to the abortion culture that we live in, right? The laws here.
Well, the pornography is a root of that problem.
Yep.
Right, right. Hey, but I got 2 minutes, so I want to, before our second break. So what you just told me, and hold your response, but what you just told me is that this book is much bigger than just helping a porn addict. It's redeeming a culture that has not been a fruit of the sexual revolution, but frankly, since the beginning of time, you know, there's been this concupiscence where we've been struggling with our blind vision. So, in other words, your book, although, you know, borrowing from many giants, many, many men that like John Paul II who have this knowledge and mystical vision of beauty and life, you're basically bringing it to us, repackaging it to us in a way that I would imagine a normal, not like scholar would understand. Is that fair to say? Yes or no? Or
we're trying to make this as it's very readable. Yeah, it's
okay,
big page. It's a lot of pages, but it's very, very readable. And most of us have never heard of this. I mean, Mark, you and I, we probably can agree on this. Like if we had discovered the beautiful vision of how to see, pornography would have never been a problem.
Yeah.
So by the grace of God, where a great wound happens, great healing can happen here. So even though concupiscence exists, that desire to want to be selfish, Christ has redeemed us and has given us the ability to truly see and thus truly love.
Right.
And
so,
that's the hope here.
Yeah, that's the hope here. Thank you. I want to just make sure I don't cut you off again. So we're going to break right now, hard break. So wounded healer, Steve Pokorny, my guest, sharing his wisdom of 9 years of marriage and Franciscan University grad and John Paul II Institute, you know, trained, has brought us an amazing book, which I don't think there's anything like it. I mean, we have the theology of the body, but to dumb it down the way that you just explained, that it's readable and it's got its comprehensive element to it. 465 pages. The book is Redeemed Vision: Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture. We will return in 5 seconds with Steve Pokorny. Stay tuned.
Hello, this is an important announcement regarding a key issue in the pro-life movement, the issue of contraception. This year is the 50th anniversary of the encyclical Humanae Vitae by Pope Paul VI. There are many events regarding this anniversary. You can find them by visiting the website hv50philly.com. That's H as in hat, V as in violin, 50, the number 50, philly.com, hv50philly.com. There's an upcoming conference in October on the 13th, and there is a declaration to sign in support of Humanae Vitae. Also, many educational materials you can evangelize your friends and family about the truth of contraception. Hope you can get involved by visiting the website hv50philly.com.
Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is made possible in part by Robert Mancini, an attorney with a general practice law firm offering professional excellence and personal service. Robert Mancini can be reached at 215-348-4900. That's 215-348-4900. Programming on Holy Spirit Radio is also made possible by the generous prayer and financial support of listeners like you.
Welcome back to the King's Men. Here we are Friday, July 27th, live with wonderful guest Steve Pokorny, author, father, husband, and freedom coach. Go to his website, freedom-coaching.net, if you want to learn more about his new book, Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture. A short read, 465 pages.
Exactly.
Steve's telling us about it. We're unpacking. It's more than just a book about porn addiction. It's about establishing the foundation and redeeming the culture for the beauty by which God created it, right? And of course, we have the lens of the major issue of the day, the pandemic problem of pornography, which Steve has been tackling for a number of years. Steve, tell us a little bit about, obviously it's on Amazon. Tell us a little about when was the book released? I know it was this past spring or maybe this beginning of the summer. When was it released?
Well, it was technically it was released December of 2017. But here's an interesting point, tidbit. The day that Hugh Hefner died was the day the final edits were completed. So it was, a clarion witness to me that when one legacy is coming to an end, another one is rising. And like when Jesus shows up in the middle of nowhere. And from that radiates to something awesome, and I'm not putting myself in the shoes to say I'm Jesus or anything like that.
Sure,
but
say
something that's hidden, but it's been developing for 14 years. Now we're able to get this out to the masses, and again, I'm grateful for the opportunity to share this with someone.
Right. Well, and that's no coincidence there. I mean, certainly, I remember where I was. I was doing a retreat, and my wife texted me. She said, "Share with the men that Hugh Hefner just passed away," and we prayed for him, and I'm glad you shared that. And there is no coincidence there. When this times of great debauchery and times of great grief in the culture, God rises up great light in darkness and great saints. And so, Steve, I think it's awesome, and I think our audience totally filters what you said in the right lens and the right way. So praise God for that. So how is the book doing? Give us an update, and we want to help here in Pennsylvania to spread the word. If we have any Catholic bookstores owners are listing, certainly we do. We've got a handful of them here in our audience. Perhaps they could obtain it. So tell us how you're working with to get the word out. And I know Amazon, of course, but with the book stores around the country.
Yeah, so I've actually been privileged to actually be on a number of different podcasts, the Catholic Man Show, things like this, a number of them actually in the next couple of weeks. The other thing that I'm being blessed to do, some of our listeners may be familiar with Shalom World TV. I'm actually recording a 12-part series, a 9 p.m. series, with them in a few weeks from now. That's going to help to break this out even further to a larger audience, of which I'm humbled to be able to do. And then I continue to, and so we're the other place that we're getting the message out, if any of you are on Instagram, please follow the work we're doing. It's redeemed_vision, just like the book, so that, you know, because there's lots of different topics and ways to break this out there. But, yeah, we're seeing phenomenal things happening, and especially I'm seeing it, you know, most immediately are with my clients, and because we walk through this book, and just some of the seeing the light bulbs come on and realizing, oh, my gosh, how blind I've been, but I long for this sight. And when they receive this, it's a great joy of my heart.
Great. Well, I got a next retreat as I shared with the audience before you came on in South Dakota. I want to get a bulk order for that retreat. So we'll talk offline, off air to get that. So yeah, anybody in the audience that and I love how you put it out there, kind of a la Matthew Kelly, like getting in the hands of priests would be really great. Perhaps this could be a great gift to a parish, if you want to donate it to a parish library, or to a priest in a way that says, hey, I know this is a problem in our parish. Not that you're pointing a finger at the priest saying he has a problem, although, as Steve said, that may be the case. But in some respects, you know, this would be a help pastorally, right? This book would be a help for pastors and even people like me who minister to men always on the fly with porn addiction. That would be a good resource, correct?
Absolutely. No, I mean, think through. I mean, and you can probably count on one hand, Mark, the amount of homilies you've heard actually preached on this. I think a lot of priests are feeling either they're dealing with them themselves or just feeling incapable, like, oh my gosh, how am I supposed to bring this up in an audience? How am I supposed to talk, speak articulately about this? And this is one of my hope. I want to educate. It's very catechetical in nature as well, but very down-to-earth language, so that we can actually take the ball with it, start a conversation about this, so that we can bring healing to people. Because I like to say, this is a 972,000-pound elephant in the room that no one's talking about, and we must get the conversation. But to also, most importantly, say, it's not just about talking about the problem, because there's lots of people, more and more people are beginning to do that, but there's an actual solution for this, to be able to move on and live the life we're supposed to.
Okay, so let's break out the book a little bit. Is it broken up into parts? Like when I think of the books that I've written, you know, sometimes it's and a lot simpler books, you know, as far as scale for me, but problem solution. You know, how do you break out the book?
Sure, it's a three part one. First, in the first part of the book, we want to talk about the problem, right? Getting into this notion, using the notion of a septic tank, that we've been drinking from the septic tank, and a lot of us are just poisoned by this. And so, basically, breaking out, this is extremely well researched, well documented. My wife wouldn't have it any other way. So she wouldn't. I mean, we're talking nitpicking. She said this was again the hardest delivery she's ever done in her life. And then this also talking about the brain chemicals there and the problems of how this stirs up in our brain and why we are in most cases not able to break free from this from our own willpower. That's part one. Mm-hmm. Part two is called the delivery method. So delivery system. How do we deliver this message through healing? And those who have encountered John Paul the Great's theology of the body can see that our bodies are not a mistake. Our bodies are not something to avoid, but we are called to engage the body. And so to first and foremost, see the goodness and beauty of our own body. Yes, original sin is real, but redemption is way more real. And we are able to live from that perspective and see others from this perspective. And then third is how we actually learn how to see. So the whole process here, helping to break through a lot of the presuppositions against seeing the body, looking at the body, some of the false notions that even we as Christians and Catholics have bought into about the pornified culture and some of those lies of the body. I go into chapter 10, a discussion on beauty. What is real beauty? And what is not, and being able to compare the marital act, the act of intercourse between husband and wife, and pornography, and why the two are worlds apart, and then also why art, genuine art, is worlds apart from pornography, and through this lens of beauty. So there's a beautiful catechetical section there, and then getting into a lot of the solutions there, how we make this in our own private prayer time, but then also bringing this vision into the world. How do we see that person who's walking down the street, maybe dressing in a way that before would attract our lust? Now I can learn how to see that person precisely as a person, learn how to love them and engage them as a person. And guess what? Through this engagement appropriately, we may bring about a conversion of heart there. that they can see their own goodness and worth. Mm. And then chapter 12 is all practicality, all these things and what everybody can do, what women can do, what parishes can do, and especially what parents can do, because many of us are very, you know, how do I really talk to my kids about pornography? How do I, with this whole technological things exploding here, how do we navigate the waters of technology? So I go deep into that, and then also about how do we engage the modern world, because we're called to go out from our parishes, as Pope Francis says, to go make a mess of things. So we've got to make a holy mess.
Right. Wow, very comprehensive. So that's congratulations. It sounds like an amazing journey that you take us on, but also very educational. I'm sitting here listening, and I could see, like, students in even colleges and professors finding this book and saying, hey, I want to use this as a resource for a class. Maybe you're dealing on addiction, or, you know, it's a class or something like that in a more psychological setting. But nonetheless, Steve, I've read a lot on pornography over the years, and the approach is very clinical in some books. My approach is very down to earth. Just, you know, I'm the guy that, you know, your neighbor who is just like you, you know, real and kind of, you know, similar to you in some respects, practical language. But I just kind of share my testimony and just offer that. But your book takes us through, and like no other that I've heard about. And I know all of them. I know Pete Klaponis. I know Matt Fratt. I know all these guys who've written on it. Frankly, I don't think they've ever done it in this way. So I'm just going to congratulate you and affirm you and tell you, good job, brother. Really happy that this is out there. And I want to be a conduit to get it in the hands of priests and help. So we'll continue to do that. The book is Redeemed Vision, Setting the Blind Free from the Pornified Culture by Steve Pokorny, my guest today. You can go to his website, freedom-coaching.net. If you'd like to, you know, receive counseling from Steve, do you do Skype calls with people who aren't in your area? I'm sure you do.
I work with people around the world.
Right.
And again, it's not counseling, it's coaching. Just want to make that clarification.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Coaching.
No worries.
So if people want to get a hold of you, they can do that through freedom-coaching.net, correct?
Absolutely.
Great. So yeah, we want to specify that, because if you're not a licensed practitioner, right, then we get in trouble, wouldn't we? Okay. So good. So good luck with the Shalom World TV. Now, where does that air? Is that going to be airing on a specific channel that's on the internet, or what? How will we find more about that 12-part program you're part of?
Sure. So, and hopefully that will be airing sometime in the fall. That's the hope here. There's going to be some post-production work. So any, you can find it online. I think it's shalomworldtv.org, I believe that is. And then you have also, if you have an Amazon Fire Stick or Roku, it's there. And there's a petition going on to get this on cable. So you can pray for that and also find the petition. I think it's on their website, and be able to sign up for that.
Cool. Exciting stuff. So, Steve, I'm going to see you next month. We'll be together in San Antonio. I look forward to seeing you and spending time breaking bread with you. And, we're really grateful for your time today. Is there anything else, parting words, things that you'd like to have talked about that we didn't, that I missed, that it's just such a short time, fastest hour in local radio here. So tell me things that you want to share or things that we missed.
Sure. One little thing. It was an early testimony. You mentioned about having this in college and using it early on when this was released. A friend from grad school, actually the high school teacher, brought it into the classroom and kind of floored the guys there, but seeing remarkable transformations happening and having them actually write a paper on my book. And so, like, I never expected in the world here. And I would say to those who have been trapped in this issue, there is hope and there's healing here for you, that you do not have to live under coping mechanisms or waiting for the shoe to drop, that we can have our hearts transformed, our eyes redeemed, so that we can live the life we're called to live.
Okay, real quick question. So let's say we've experienced the redemption of our eyes and we've experienced the redemption of the pornified culture in our life. Now, once that's happened, it's not like, you know, all right, you know, shake your, you know, the dust from your sandals or wash your hands clean from it. We got to constantly be vigilant, right? I mean, isn't there a danger in saying, you know, like, I got this now? Like, do you address any of that in the book, or does that come up?
Okay. First thing I would say is never, ever, ever seek out pornified images. Okay? Very clear on that. And I make that in the book, we're very clear. But when we have been programmed by genuine beauty and we continue to feed ourselves with genuine beauty, when these images, say we're looking on, I don't know, Drudge Report or CNN or MSN, there's advertisements that are pornified, right?
Sure.
We can look at them and very quickly, I'm talking within 2 to 3 seconds, like, that's stupid. It's ridiculous. Like, and if there's a pull to lust, guess what? We can go to genuine beauty, and beauty always destroys the lie. Mm. Always.
Mm.
If we've been programming this. And so, yes, there's vigilance here, but the more we are habitually programmed by genuine beauty, pornified images lose their power to the point, like C.S. Lewis talks about in The Great Divorce, right? To paraphrase, he says, lust is a weak, whimpering thing compared to beauty, to beauty set to a full flourishing. When we are set on fire with genuine love, then we're not held down by this. And we can learn how to see every person as a person, and it changes the world.
Yeah, I confirm it. And I simply would add that when you see, you know, that's those images that pop up because of, you know, we're existing in the yep. world and we have to interact yep. with it and interface, it's almost like where I'll say, you know what, that's disgusting. You know, there's a distaste for it. We are done in 30 seconds of getting the late call here. But, Steve, thank you for being my guest today. Again, Steve Picorni, my guest, San Antonio, Texas, is where he's calling in. The book is Redeem Vision, Setting the Blind Free from Pornified Culture. You can get it on Amazon.com or go to his website, freedom-coaching.net. Thanks again, Steve, for joining me.
Thanks so much, Mark.
God bless you.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit, communicating hope.